whatever the Lord please, he does. That's it. Whatever the Lord please, he does. Whatever the Lord wants to do, whatever his desire is, he does it. Why? Because he's supreme powerful. He's supreme knowing, and he's absolutely free.
Welcome to the Followers of the Way podcast for October 29th, 2017. Today, Pastor Olu continues on his World Engine series called Daniel, God Rules Supreme.
Nobody can build a fence around God's plan so that God can't get to it. It says nobody can cut away God's plan. Whatever his purpose is, God will get to his purpose. And nobody or nothing can take that away. Why? Because God is supreme powerful, God is supreme knowing, and God is absolutely free.
Pastor Olu teaches on the attributes of God and how he reigns supreme over every aspect of heaven and earth. He also brings to light how God is all-knowing, all-present, and all-powerful, and how his plan will be carried out when all is said and done. Now he'll be reading from the book of Daniel, so grab your Bible and follow along with us as we explore God's word here on Followers of the Way.
So we're in Daniel. We did the intro, and I gave you kind of a background. So we're going to move forward today. If you remember, the reason all this was happening, the reason that the children of Israel or the Judah was under bondage was because there was no distinction. And that's what I want you to remember throughout this whole thing, no distinction. It was very difficult to tell the difference between God's people who are from the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world. And that was the problem. And because of that, no distinction, God had to punish them. And the punishment came in destruction. The punishment came in doom. The punishment came in desolation that God has prophesied. We talked last week a little bit about why God had to punish. And the reason God had to punish is because God is just. God has a quality, it's called justice. And because of that, his moral code, who God is, and we talked about the word equity, and that equity means he's an elevation of good, or God is fair. So because of God's goodness, because of his fairness, because of his equity, when he approaches our moral situation, what we do, how we think, how we act, 22 things can happen. If it lines up with who God is, then we're good. But if it doesn't line up with who God is, and it's inequity or iniquity, then God has to punish that. So we have to make sure that as we live, as we act, as we think, that we make sure that there is a distinction between how we act, live, and think, and how the rest of the world does. And that's part of us being a world engine, not of this kingdom, but of the kingdom of God. Because of that, what happened was, and you got to be careful, because the reason that Jerusalem and the God's people got caught up in bondage is because they begin to act like everybody else around them. And so they were bound or in physical bondage like the people around them. And so we have to be careful, because when we do that, act in physical bondage, then we are asking for that spiritual bondage that comes with it. And that's what happened. Those people who don't worship God, they're in spiritual bondage. So when we act like them, think like them, walk like them, talk like them, we are asking or inviting that spiritual bondage to come into our life. And so it's interesting when we look at the scripture, two ways to look at it. One, that the children of Israel were actually, God's people were actually involved in and participating and contributing in the bad stuff. And we talked about there was no distinction in three things, remember? There was no distinction in faith, no distinction in how they worshiped, and no distinction in how they treated other people, how they treated God's people. So, Daniel chapter 1. So I told you last week we were in Daniel chapter 1, verse 0. Now we're in Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. We're actually starting off. Daniel chapter 1, I'll read. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with some of the vessels of the house of God, and he brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, lowercase g, and placed the vessels in the treasury of his God, lowercase g. So we talked about Jehoiakim last week. What happened was, and I like the way Daniel starts off, remember the theme of Daniel. The theme of Daniel is God is sovereign, first part. And the other theme that we're focused on is the fact that how to be a world engine, how the people of God are supposed to act and live in the kingdom of man. That's outside the door. And so Daniel starts off, it pops off telling you that God is in charge. So that's what God is sovereign means. That means he is in charge. Verse 2, and the Lord gave. It starts talking about what God did. It said the Lord gave. Now, if you notice in your Bibles, you see Lord is written capital L, lowercase o, lowercase r, lowercase d. And y'all remember in our study of the names of God, that name is the name of Adonai. And Adonai in the scriptures in the Hebrew means, has the idea of supreme master. And so the book starts off letting you know that God is supreme master. It starts talking about what God did. God gave the king of Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. God gave some of the vessels of the house of God to Nebuchadnezzar. And so it starts off talking about God's sovereignty. And so when we look at God's sovereignty, that word has an idea that means that God is ruler. So think about ruler. Think about in charge. So God is ruler, or he rules over his entire creation. So because of that, there are some characteristics that come with that. So we have to understand who God is. So God is ruler over all his creation. There's three things we want to understand about that. One is that God is all-knowing. Now, when we say all-knowing, and I remember when I was little, I used to hear all-knowing, and I used to think, oh, he knows a lot. That's why I used to think when I hear all-knowing. He knows a lot. But all-knowing doesn't mean he knows a lot. It means that he knows everything. That God is supreme in knowing. So think about that. He is supreme knowing. There's a word for that that theologians use called omniscient. Okay, so you think omni means all, and scient, it's kind of like science, is to know it or knowledge. So God is all knowing. So think about it. When you hear God is sovereign, I want you to think of supreme knowing, okay? Not only that is, he's also all-powerful. Now, when I was little, I used to think all-powerful means God is really, really, really strong. It goes beyond that. All-powerful means supreme powerful. That means he is at the pinnacle of all power. Not that he's really strong, or that he's powerful, is that supreme powerful. There's a word for that called omnipotent. And so when we say that God is sovereign, what we need to understand is he is supreme in knowledge. He is supreme in power. And the last one that has to do with God is sovereign, it means he's absolutely free. This is a cool one. Well, the other ones are cool. But this is a really cool one. He is absolutely free to do whatever he wills, anywhere he wants to, at any time he wants to carry out his internal purpose in every single detail without interference. So I'm going to say that again. Absolutely free means that he's free to do whatever he wills, to do it anywhere, at any time, to carry out his eternal purpose. So what we have to understand is God has a purpose. So think about purpose. Think about a plan. There's a will. So, you know, we talked about the definition of will and mind a couple of series ago. But think about it. God has a purpose and he has a plan. So whatever his purpose is, it will get carried out. Why? Well, because he's supreme knowing. That means he knows every single thing, every detail of every fact of every single thing. So get that piece in your head. Not only would his will and his purpose actually come to pass because he knows everything, it will come to pass because he's supreme powerful. That means nothing, absolutely nothing can interfere with whatever his purpose is. Supreme in knowing, supreme in power, and absolutely free to do whatever he wills. That's what it means when we say God is sovereign. What we've done in society, and sad to say, even some part in the body of Christ, we've taken this quality of God and we've reduced it. We've turned God into this nice guy. You know, God is this cool cat. That's what the kids are saying these days. Cool cats. We reduce God to this person or this idea. And don't get me wrong, God is love and all that. You know, we sing the song, I am a friend of God. He knows my name. We call him friend. I don't know the words. One of those two endings is close enough. But I'm a friend of God. And that's true. But we have to be careful that we don't pull God down to our level. That's the thing. We got to be careful we don't pull God to our level, and so we see him, treat him like everybody else. The thing about God you have to understand is that he is supreme powerful. So I don't care what power you can think of. God is over that. He's supreme in knowing. I don't care what plan is out there, what idea is out there, what thought is out there, what science is out there. God is supreme in all of that. And lastly, God can do whatever he wants to anywhere and at any time. And his purpose, and not only his purpose, but every single detail of his purpose will come to pass without interference. That's the God we serve. That's the supreme power, the supreme knowing, and the absolute freeness of God. And that's wrapped up into God is sovereign. We'll look at some verses to talk about that real quick. If you got your Bible, turn with me to Proverbs 21, verse 1. And I'm going to go through these quick. So get your fingers, loosen up your fingers. Or your button pushing. Proverbs 21, 1. We're talking about these attributes of God, the fact that he's sovereign. And I want us to understand in our minds what that means. Psalms 21, 1. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord, and he, the Lord, turns it wherever he wills. So think about the king. King's in charge. Think about your king. Might be your mama, your daddy. Your king. Might be your boss. Your king. Might be the president, the actual king, the queen, Congress, the Supreme Court. Think about it. In our land, the highest court is the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court makes a lot of decisions. They make, you know, decisions, and they come to rulings and all that kind of stuff. The Bible says that the king's heart is like a river in the hand of God. And the supreme powerful, supreme knowing, and absolute free God turns it wherever he wants it to go. That's the power of the God we serve. Psalms 135, 6. It says, and I like it because it's so simple. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. That's it. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does. Whatever the Lord wants to do, whatever his desire is, he does it. Why? Because he's supreme powerful, he's supreme knowing, and he's absolutely free. Turn to Job 42, verse 2. We know the story of Job. He had everything. God took everything. And then God gave him back tenfold everything. And at the end of all that Job went through, if we look at Job chapter 42, verse 2, watch this. Now, I like the King James better. I will say that. But I'm going to read it in the ESV. Job 42, 2. And this is Job talking. Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job says, I know, God, that you can do all things and that your purpose, his plan, cannot be thwarted. That word means clipped off or cut off. God's plan can't be cut off. If you look at the original language in Hebrew, that word has the idea of a fortress can't be built up around it. So if this is the plan of God, what Job was saying that nobody can build a fence around God's plan so that God can't get to it. It says nobody can cut away God's plan. Whatever his purpose is, God will get to his purpose. And nobody or nothing can take that away. Why? Because God is supreme powerful. God is supreme knowing. And God is absolutely free. There's some other verses you don't have to turn in. But in Acts chapter 15, verse 18, the scripture says, known to God are his works from beginning of the world. Whatever God's plan is that he knew from the beginning, before we were born, before we existed, before the earth existed, God had plans. And even today, those same plans are coming to pass. Why? Because God is supreme, powerful. God is supreme, knowing. And God is absolutely free. God has power, wisdom, and authority to do anything he chooses within his creation. Now, whether or not he chooses to exert that authority is different. So let's talk about that a little bit. We know God, the scripture says that God is supreme powerful, God is supreme knowing, and God is absolutely free. He can do what he wants. So God has the authority to exert his power and control whenever he wants to. But God chooses when he wants to exert that authority. I'll give you an example. Last night, I was taking Jaden to Fall Festival, and I was driving in the car, and there may or may not have been speed limits, and I may or may not have exceeded said speed limits, such that a vehicle pulled up behind me with some kind of crazy flashing lights on the top of the car. So I thought, oh, it's a cop trying to pass me. Let me pull over so he can go around me. So when I pulled over, I noticed that he pulled over also. I was like, oh, you got to be kidding me. What's about to go down here? A lot of things flashed through my mind. But anyway, so the cop comes out. Can I see your license registration? Sure. What's going on? And I kind of said, like, well, what happened? He kind of like laughed. He said, do you know you were going? And he mentioned a number. Over the speed limit. We don't need all the details. Wait, what are we doing? I said, you got to be kidding me. Because I genuinely did not feel that I was going said number over the speed limit. But the point was, I was. And because he's a cop, he has the authority, the city, the state has given him the authority to exert his authority over me when I break the law. And so what was happening to me, he had the authority to go back to his car, which he did, and write a ticket and give to me. But he did not. He came back. He said a lot of stuff. And he said a lot of stuff. He said, I'm going to give you a warning. He had the right to exert his authority, but he chose not to. So I set an example when we talk about God, because a lot of times people say, well, God, if God's in charge, why does this happen? Well, if God is all powerful, why did he let this happen? I read an example the other night, and I hate when, I don't hate, But when people try to use physical examples to describe who God is, it's very difficult because there is no description in our language that we can use to understand all who God is. But we can have little, like, examples. So here's a little example of what I'm talking about. Let's say I had a bowl and I picked up an ant and I put an ant in the bowl. So in this scenario, in this world, I am supreme over the ant, right? It's a little ant. I pick the ant up and I put the ant in the bowl. And as the ant tries to come out the bowl, I can knock him back down. I can put a top on the bowl to keep the ant in the bowl. Anytime he tries to get out, I can pluck him back in. Because I have supreme authority over the bowl and the ant. So he's under my supreme authority. Now, I can allow the ant to crawl out of the bowl. I can do that. And I still maintain my authority over the ant. I still maintain my power over the ant. Just because I saw the ant and the ant got out the bowl, yeah, I'm free, I'm doing what I want to do. I still have total control over the ant. That's a terrible way to try to explain. But God has supreme authority over us, supreme power, supreme knowledge, and he's absolutely free. And the Bible says that his purpose, so if my purpose was to make sure that ant stayed in that bowl, that ant was going to stay in the bowl because that's what I wanted to happen. I could allow the ant to do what he wanted to do, but my purpose, if that ant went out, is because I allowed him to do so. When we understand who God is and the supreme power of God and the supreme knowledge of God and the fact that God is absolutely free, we understand some things. First of all, we understand that God isn't thrown off by anything. God is in shock. God doesn't wake up one morning like, oh, snap. That doesn't happen to God. Why? Because God is all supreme powerful. God is supreme in all knowledge, every detail of every knowledge. So God isn't thrown off by, for instance, our pain and suffering. When we go through pain, when we go through suffering, that does not faze God. That does not throw God off. That does not say, oh, no, this pain and suffering is happening. My plan is going to be messed up. Nah. Because the scripture says that God's plans cannot be interfered with by anything. God isn't thrown off by sickness. We don't get sick and then God is like, oh, my goodness, it's sick. Well, I had a plan for them. Now I have to go back and adjust my plan because now there's some sickness going on. No. That's just something that's going on. But God knows that, and he still is in charge. He still is in authority. God isn't thrown off by our financial hardships. When we go through money problems, God's plan isn't messed up. God doesn't have to go back, okay, you know what? I got to go back and adjust some things because of these numbers here. Let me go back. No. Why? Because nothing can interfere with God. That's the God we serve. Supreme powerful, supreme knowledge, and absolutely free. I like the fact that God isn't thrown off by my idiosyncrasies, my little behaviors, my quirks. God isn't thrown off by my ideas, my ideologies. That doesn't throw God off. God isn't thrown off or surprised by other people's decisions. Now think about it. We get surprised by other people's decisions. We make a plan. We start heading on a certain direction. We think everything is going good. And then boom, somebody does something. Somebody's messed up what I was planning. Something happens that throws me off. Then I got to go back and try to adjust, blah, 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 blah. But guess what? God isn't fazed by that. God doesn't get thrown off when other people interfere, other people try to do things. And the one that I think is most amazing to me is that God isn't thrown off by my free will. You see, God has given me a free will. He's given us a free will. That means that God, we're not robots. That's all that means. I mean, that God is not with the puppet string saying, okay, do this, now do this, do this. No, God has given me free will, so I make decisions. I have the capability of making decisions. But even in that, even in my decisions that I make, be it good ones, be it bad ones, be it stupid ones, be it smart ones, even in my decision making of my free will, God is not thrown off by that. God's plan and God's purpose will not be affected by the choices that I make. Why? Because he's all powerful. He's supreme power and supreme knowledge. So I'm going to say this. If I had done a PowerPoint, I would have thrown this off. If I had a marker, I would have wrote it. But this is what I'm saying here. Listen to this one. My God is supremely infinite in power, supremely infinite in detailed knowledge of all the facts, and absolutely free to do whatever he wills, anywhere, at any time, to carry out his eternal purpose in every detail without interference. I'm going to say it again. My God is supremely infinite in power, supremely infinite in detailed knowledge of all the facts, and is absolutely free to do whatever he wills, to do anywhere, at any time, to carry out his internal purpose in every single detail without interference. Therefore, because of that fact, I am secure. Psalms 118:6 says, I will not fear what man can do unto me. The reason why David can say that, the reason why I can say now, I don't have any fear about what anybody can do to me. The reason I can stand on that is because God is supremely infinite in power. God is supremely infinite in detailed knowledge of all the facts, and he's absolutely free to do whatever he wants anytime he wants to. Because of that, I can say with David in Psalms 56:3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in him. See, I can trust in God when I'm afraid. Why? Because God is supremely infinite in power. He is supremely infinite in every detailed knowledge of every fact. And he's absolutely free to do whatever he wants at any time without any interference. And because of that, I can say in Psalms 4:8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for you, Lord, only makes me dwell in safety. I am safe. Not because of anything that I've done, not because of I'm believing in this mystical power. No, I'm safe because of who I put my trust in. I put my trust into the supremely infinite power, the supremely infinite and detailed knowledge of all the facts, and the only one who is absolutely free to do whatever he wants without any interference. I am safe. God is supreme. Because of that, there's some responsibility. Now I can trust and obey. I can trust and obey God. Why do I trust and obey God? Because God is supremely infinite in power. He's supremely infinite in detailed knowledge of all the facts. And he is absolutely free to do whatever he wills to do anytime, any place. So because of that, Deuteronomy 11:1-2 says, I will obey his rules and commandments always. Turn with it. Turn there for me. I want everybody to look at that one. Deuteronomy chapter 11. Verse 1 and 2. God is supremely infinite in power, supremely infinite in detailed knowledge of all the facts. There's not a fact. There's not a little nugget of fact that got slipped under the rug or fell behind the dresser. He is supremely knowledgeable of all of that. And so because of that, Deuteronomy 11 verse 1 says, you shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. And consider today, since I'm not speaking to your children who have not known or seen it, consider the discipline of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hand, and his outstretched arm. So Moses says, look at the power of God, and because of who God is, obey. That's why I obey God. That's why I do what God says. Because he's supremely powerful, infinite in his power, supremely infinite in the detailed knowledge of all the facts, and he's absolutely free to do whatever he wants anytime he wants to. Never to be interfered by anything. So I must obey him. Psalms 119 verse 57 says, I will keep the Lord's word. I will turn my feet toward his testimonies and I will obey his commandments. Isaiah 56, 1, the prophet says, I will keep justice and do righteousness. See, I don't obey God because I probably should. I don't obey God because, you know what, there's some good stuff that comes from obeying God. Yeah, all that's true. But the reason that I obey God, the reason that I trust God is because of who he is. Supreme power, supreme knowledge, and absolutely free to do whatever he wants. And lastly, because of that, last when we talk about God being sovereign, I will surrender my will to him. Look at Isaiah chapter 64, verse 8. But now, O Lord, by the way, that's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That's Yahweh. That's it right there. That's the I am that I am. So we're already acknowledging his power, his infinite power. The prophet is acknowledging that. The prophet is acknowledging his infinite detailed knowledge. All in that word. But now, Yahweh, you are our Father. We are the clay and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. Isaiah said that I have to look at myself like clay. Y'all remember Plato? Should I have Plato or clay? I remember in kindergarten, they used to give us these, it was long rectangles. I'm older than you. I'm way older. Yeah. Nah, see, we weren't that fancy. I was in P-Town. We didn't have fancy stuff. It was a long rectangle about this long, and it had plastic on it, and you had to unwrap the plastic, and it was real hard at first, and then you had to take a long time to mold it and shape it and make it. Okay? What the prophet said was, Isaiah says that we are the clay. And when you put the clay in the hand of the master has the right to shape whatever he wants. Sometimes I made a bowl, sometimes I made an elephant, sometimes I made a person. Sometimes I just made a snake and tried to make it as long as I could before it broke. The clay did what I wanted it to do. The clay submitted or surrendered itself to my hands. Why? Because in that situation, I had supreme power over the clay. And so what the prophet is saying here is that because of Yahweh, because God is infinite, infinitely supreme in power, supremely infinite in detailed knowledge of all the facts and absolutely free to do whatever he wills anytime and any place, anywhere, such that the purpose of his will come to pass without interference. Therefore, I will surrender my will to him. That's why I can't do what I want to do. I must, as a world engine, I must, as a follower of Christ, I must surrender whatever I want to do to him. Because he's all powerful, supreme powerful, supreme knowledgeable, and absolutely free. Once we put that in perspective, in the right frame of mind, as you turn back to Daniel chapter 1, once we get God in the right place, the rest of our life will then line up. Because our view of God dictates how I live, how I act, how I think. So if I don't have God in his proper place, and forgive the height of my hand, it should be like infinitely up. But if I don't have God in his proper place and I have him anywhere below, then I'm not serving the God of the Bible, which means I'm serving a false God. And therefore, my life is not exemplifying what it should be because of that. God is in charge. God is supreme. And we're going to see as we go through Daniel what God does because he's in charge, because he's supreme. And it starts, verse 2 said, that the Lord gave the king of Judah into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar. And the Lord also gave some of the vessels of the house of God to Nebuchadnezzar. So Nebuchadnezzar came through, and not only did he take the king of Judah out, he went into the temple and snatched up some of the goodies that was in the temple and snatched those out. Now, that was a sign of ultimate disrespect. That's what that was. That was, my God is better than your God. That's what that was. And I'm going to show you how my God is better than your God, because I'm going to walk up in your temple and I'm going to snatch all the gold and the vessels that I want, all the diamond stuff. I'm going to snatch them that I want them. And that's what he did because of that. In the old days, if a king came and conquered your land, he would go into your temple and take some stuff out. And that was to prove that my God is bigger than your God. And it was also a sign of disgrace. It was a sign of disgrace. It was a sign of shame. It was a sign of desecration. He desecrated. Think about some stranger walks up in your house. Think about your most prized possession in your home. Just think about whatever it is. Everybody got it in your head? Now, somebody you don't even know, kick the door open, walk right up to it, snatches it, give you deuces, and walks out. And there's nothing you can do about it. That's utter disrespect. And that's what happened. That's what happened because of this. The Jews were disgraced. They were shamed. They were desecrated. Why? Because they lived with no distinction. That's why they were in the position they were in. See, guys, we got to be careful. When we live our life where it's no distinction, when we live a life where nobody can tell the difference in how we live than the rest of the world lives, we bring disgrace to God. We bring shame to the name of God. We bring shame to the house of God. We bring shame to the people of God. In those same three areas. In faith, when we don't show our active agreement with the truth, by our obedience and trust, we bring shame to God. In our worship, when we don't display our respect and our commitment and our loyalty by giving God everything in our life, not just our worship songs, but our worship thoughts, my worship words, my worship actions, we bring disgrace to God. And then when we are insensitive to the poor, to the needy, to the less fortunate, when we do that, we also bring disgrace to God. So let's make sure we don't do that like the children of Israel. Because God has to address that. And so I have to make sure that my life is living in such a way. My faith is such so people look at me and see my faith and then say, okay, Olu is worshiping God through his faith. People can see how I live, how I talk. And say, okay, Olu is worshiping, giving God everything he's worth. And then people can see how I treat others. And how I treat others, when we talked about a couple weeks ago, everyone is an image bearer of God. When God created man, he created him how? In his image. And so how I treat the guy on the corner, how I treat the person who may not have everything that they need, I have to treat them like they are the face of God. And when I don't, like the children of Israel, I show no distinction and I bring shame and disgrace to God. We have to make sure we don't do that. As we continue to go through Daniel, we're going to see some interesting things. We're going to look through this book, and the book is going to show us in every chapter the sovereignty of God. So as we go through Daniel, I want you to look for examples of God's sovereignty. Look for examples of God being supremely powerful. Look for examples of God being supremely knowledgeable. And then look for examples of God being supremely free to do whatever he wants to. Amen? Amen. Father, we love you. We thank you, God. for who you are, God. We thank you, God, for being supremely and infinitely powerful, God. And I pray, God, that everyone in the sound of my voice will recognize that you are supremely infinite and powerful, God. We thank you, God, for being supremely and infinitely knowledgeable in every detail of every fact, God. I pray, God, that we will recognize that's who you are, God. And we thank you, God, for being absolutely free to do whatever, whenever, such that your will and your purpose will always come to pass. Every detail of your will come to pass without any interference, God. I pray, God, that your sovereignty will allow me to trust you, God. I pray that your sovereignty, God, would allow me to obey you. We thank you that your sovereignty can allow us to know that we can be safe no matter what goes on, God. That your sovereignty allows us to be secure in you regardless of what man may do, what someone else might do, what I may do, what sickness might do, what financial hardships may do, God. Your plan, your purpose will continue to come to pass no matter what. I pray, God, that we will live a life such that this week, God, that every aspect of everything we do, we remember your supreme power, your supreme knowledge. We love you, God. We thank you for this time in your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Followers of the Way podcast. If you like more information about Followers of the Way Church, visit our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/FOTW Church. Again, that's www.facebook.com/FOTW Church. We trust and hope that you've enjoyed hearing God's word and how to apply it to our lives. Our podcast is updated weekly, so remember to follow us here at Followers of the Way.